welcome. Good to have you here this morning. My name is Ron. First time here. Great to have you. There's a mic there that's a two on the end there, and handheld. Right. So, for those of you who are newer, Living Hope, you'll get used to it, trust me. For those of you who are newer at Living Hope, these are the elders. If you flip your program, actually, over to the back, our names are at the top, and our contact information is at the top. So if after the service you want to follow up with any of these guys with something they said or something you'd like to ask them about, feel free to do that. Their emails are there. And Living Hope, as a congregation, is led by a team of elders, which is the five of us. As pastor, I serve as the leader of the team, but we really do function as a team. Their input and their perspectives are very valuable to me. I ask them all the time, you know, what they're thinking, what they're sensing, what they're seeing. And so this morning, we wanted to take an opportunity. We do this, it's been about every 6 months, where we've taken an opportunity just to try to bring the congregation a little bit of an update as to some of the things we've been asking God about, some of the things we've been praying about, some of the things we've been seeking Him for. So we're going to do that this morning, and you'll get to hear from all of us at one point or another. So I think to introduce what we're going to share this morning as an update, you know, I look back over the times we've shared so far, and I won't go back over them, but this clear progression the Lord has us on. And one of the words we've really been asking the Lord about for months, has to do with the churchy word, if you will, is discipleship, and just helping each other growing in the Lord, maturing in our faith. And we were really seeking the Lord about that. And we almost got to a point where we're like, you know what, there's a million theories out there and a million ideas. We just need to shut our human reasoning down and just take at least a month and a half, and do nothing but pray and just wait on the Lord and see what He gives us. And it was in that time that we felt like He really directed us to this passage from 1 Thessalonians, primarily the first three chapters. I shared on it last Sunday. So if you weren't here last Sunday, it is on the website. It would probably be helpful, like as a little bit of context for what we're going to talk about, if you could go back and listen to that. It is on the website. And we'll refer to it briefly today, but this passage from 1 Thessalonians, where Paul is writing a letter to the people of Thessalonica, and he is telling them, he's kind of recounting for them, if you will, the type of ministry he had there, and how he treated them, and how he related to them. And it's a picture of a very relational, people-centered, life-centered ministry. And we feel like God is just saying to us, that is what ministry is supposed to look like. And that's not always what it looks like, especially in North America. So that's just a real brief background. I'm going to go through on the PowerPoint super, super fast, just as a really brief review from last week. There were 10 things I pointed out from these first three chapters of Thessalonians regarding Paul's ministry. His ministry was more than words. It wasn't just words, but number two, it was also accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit. He uses the word power, and he uses the word deep conviction. Those were some characteristics of the ministry of Paul and his companions. Number three, he lived among those he was ministering to. It was a very much among ministry of people. The listeners imitated the teacher and the Lord. It wasn't just a change from ideas from Paul's head to their head. It was very much a life thing. They began patterning their lives after what they saw in these godly leaders. And we're not saying that you do that just after us. We're saying that we do that after one another. We pattern our lives after people that are following the Lord, and we pattern our lives after the Lord. Number five, the message was shared with pure motives, not to gain attention or praise. Number six, their ministry was known for gentleness, tenderness, and patience. Are these things present in the church today? They need to be. Number seven, there was a willingness to share life. Again, this wasn't just about teaching or communicating information. It was about actually sharing lives together. Number eight, their teaching also was demonstrated through hard work. Number nine, the teacher and student were bonded through persecution, an interesting element that it might be a little hard for us to connect with, but that was part of it. And number 10, dependence quickly transferred from the teacher to God. Now, I've gone through those super fast. Again, the message is on from last week. And if you haven't done your homework, I gave you homework last week. Do you remember what it was? I asked you to read the first three chapters of 1 Thessalonians. You can read more than that. But if you really read and reread the first three chapters and look for the marks of how Paul and Silas and Timothy conducted their ministry in Thessalonica, the things you see there is what God really seems to be laying on our hearts, is this is what I want Living Hope to look like. I asked the question last week, do we look like that now? I think the answer is probably largely no, at least not the way we'd like. So hopefully that's a little bit of a context for what we're going to talk about this morning. And so we wanted to take that scriptural teaching and then just talk practically this morning. Some of the things we think that means to us, some of our challenges. So Christopher's going to kick us off this morning just by a very basic overview of one section of this that ties into what we have repeated several times with our three-word, kind of our vision statement at Living Hope. We shared that last time. So go ahead, Christopher, with that.
So yeah, in your bulletin there, there's three-word vision summary blanks there. So I think over a year ago, we shared those words, love, transform, and send. 2 weeks ago, I kind of threw them in at the end of talking about Peter specifically. But here, it's also in this passage. And about a year ago, I think when we talked about the love part, we felt like that's where God really focusing on. And now, with talking about discipleship, transform seems to be a key word here. But if you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you're there, otherwise I'll just go through it. Verse 4 says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you." So the brothers, they are loved by God. That's the basis for everything in verse 4. "Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake." Then verse 6, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord." Those who imitate others and who imitate the Lord, they're in the process of discipleship. They're being transformed, be more like the people they're imitating, or be more like God, who they are ultimately trying to emulate and be like. So right there in that section is the transform portion. And Paul goes even further here in verse 7 says, "And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere." So once you begin to imitate others and you begin to follow the Lord, then basically the sent word comes out and you become a model for other people. You become the imitate, you're the imitator or the imitatee, I don't know if it's a word, but people begin to imitate you and see what you're doing, and you become the model, and your message, the message through you, becomes, rings out around the area. So there was this progression there that Paul goes through in Thessalonians, and it ties right into what we've been talking about for a while. That's kind of a basis here, but that key center section is what we're talking about this morning.
As the Lord took us to this Thessalonians passage the first time, we just saw over and over and over a common theme that was running through. And it was a theme that made this, for us anyway, much easier to understand, something we started to get a handle on. Jay's going to share a little bit about that now, that this theme that's running through 1 Thessalonians.
Bulletin areas of discipleship is more easily understood in the context of family. That would be the word to put in there. I was reading a book, Cry, by Larry Kreider, The Cry for Spiritual Fathers and Spiritual Mothers. And that book has really, really spoken to me, the importance of family. God really cares about the family. And you see it here also, as Paul points it out in the scripture in chapter 2 there. Verse 7, "But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for little children." Or even jumping down then to 11, For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. Adoring worship this morning, the Lord started speaking to me, and he just said, you know what, remember the scripture that says there's no greater joy when your children walking with the Lord? There's no greater joy. Living Hope, our desire is for Living Hope to be a parenting church for a broken world. And you say, you look through the congregation, you say, who are the spiritual fathers? Who are the spiritual mothers? If you have a relationship with Jesus, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you can be a spiritual father, you can be a spiritual mother, a spiritual brother, sister to someone else. Because Jesus has changed your heart. You have a testimony to share with somebody else. I want to see Living Hope, you know, when be a caring church. A caring church. And that's what Paul was happening here in Thessalonica. He cared about the people. He was concerned about what was going on. And I want to see Living Hope being a caring church, you know, where we're parenting, or a parenting church in a broken world. I want to say, last Sunday I said to Denise, you know, I'm just so encouraged by seeing what God is doing in your life. You know, and I says, I've seen you now transferring that over, talking to other people about what Jesus, the testimony, what Jesus has doing in my life. As I sit here and just look back through the congregation, see Larry and Virginia, you have a testimony. You can be a spiritual father and mother to somebody else. That's what it means of a caring church.
We felt in some of our discussions like the word discipleship, some of you are familiar with that word, some of you may not be, but it can be an intimidating word to think of, well, I need to disciple someone else. And what does that mean? And so many of us, I think if we're honest, we don't feel up to that challenge. Like, how could I ever disciple someone? Like, you have to know the whole Bible. You have to memorize the whole Bible. You have to be able to answer any question they'll ever ask you their whole life. Of course not. That's not what it means, but we kind of think that. But when you put it in the context of family, what a parent does to a child, they teach them what they know. There's a lot of things my kids don't know because I don't know them, but I try to teach them what I do know. I try to help them how I can. And hopefully they benefited from my role as dad. But I know there's a lot of other people that speak into their lives also. And I'm so thankful for that. And it's the same way in a family. It doesn't all rest on one person. So Rick is going to talk about another aspect of this family discussion that is just a huge potential and a great benefit if we really see this start to happen in the church.
I first came to Living Hope. First thing I know, welcome, family atmosphere. That is the DNA of this church. I don't know if you know that or not, but you need to know it. It's in you. It's there because God wants it out. Share it. I came here from a broken relationship in church. I was very wounded and early on in the process of being healed. That family relationship and everything still does very much. There are a lot of people here now, and there are a lot of people that are coming to this church not have a good family background. They don't have any idea what family looks like or what it's supposed to be. We are the ones that are called to be the imitators. We are the ones to demonstrate that as good as you can. None of us came from perfect family backgrounds, but a lot of us, most of us, have more than what a lot of the world is looking for. So become involved, to be willing to share your life, to step out and say, I'll walk alongside you. I don't know where we're going, but I know Jesus. I'm going to walk with you. Whatever it looks like, whatever you're called to, all have it. Scripture tells us we have the Holy Spirit. Everything for life and godliness has been given to us. It's there. It's wanting to be out. So the point, the last point, I'm person, a relational church can extend the blessings of family to those who did not experience those blessings. Relationship, family relationship, personal love relationships.
Just let that settle in. God could use you to bring healing, a family touch in someone's life who hasn't experienced that. That's huge. It's huge. And we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen. We see it happening here. And it's a tremendous blessing to be able to look in from the outside and see that happen. Kevin, pick up a word here that we've talked a lot about.
Okay, I just want to say, first of all, as we looked really at this passage in Thessalonians and did a lot of discussion or had a lot of discussion as elders, we said that really the church today in the Western church really has a tendency to focus a lot more on program-based events, like a Sunday morning. People are sitting on pews or sitting on chairs. They're observing, they're watching, they're not really participating. It's more of that type of program-based. And we said, is that really where this type of nurturing, is that where this type of relationship is going to be established? And we said, we don't really feel like that's where God is calling us in terms of the future with people coming in that God is connecting us with. Rather, we said our vision here at Living Hope is for people to get involved more with others, not just watching or listening. You know, you can have the best sermon, you can have the best worship band up front, but if you're sitting and watching and just observing, that's not a two-way street. That's a one-way street only. It's not relationship. And we said, as we looked at this, we said really a key part, and you'll see it in your program, the key really is interaction. Interaction is a two-way street. Interaction and relationship means that you are giving, but you're also receiving. You're not observing as a spectator, but you're being involved, and you're speaking to someone, you're encouraging someone, and you're also receiving that as well. As I thought about it, Jesus, in his ministry here on earth, 3 years that he spent those 3 years with 12 close friends. He did a lot of ministering in a big group setting. He did a lot of ministry in towns, in synagogues, but really he spent the core of his time with 12 close friends, and he commissioned them to become the early church. And that relationship with the disciples was based on relationship, interaction. He spent time with them, and the early church was founded because of that. So they modeled what Jesus had already given to them, and that was relationship, time, interaction. And that's what the early church was built on. And we really see Living Hope transitioning more to a relational church, a interactive church, and place that you're not just a spectator, but you're giving and receiving.
So those few things are what we call the big picture. I mean, that's kind of the goal. That's kind of what we're after, okay? This love transform center that Christopher talked about, family, of healing the families, interaction. Interwoven in our discussion all along the way, though, has been this recognition of some of the hindrances we face. There are hindrances. If this was easy, everybody would be doing it. There's a reason that programs can tend to be easier than relationships. You all know what that is, the word people. But we're going to focus on what we've identified as these are some things that will hinder us in this. And the more we know about them and the more we're ready to say, okay, that's something we have to work through, we believe it'll really be helpful. So Rick is going to kick us off in this with the first one, dealing with hindrances.
First thing I want to say is I'm not picking on anybody or anybody's cultural background. being from Lancaster County originally, maybe a little easier for me to see some things. But in this county, we tend to be kind of closed, a little bit stoic, not real, not overly warm. And honestly, in this church, it's very different. Still in us, especially when it comes to reaching out and stepping into somebody else's life. How do I really open up my heart and share my life with somebody else? Very different for me. So, you know, and again, not to criticize. You know, we're new creations, and that includes everything that we used to be is over with. So I don't care what your background is. I don't care what what ethnic background, what race, cultural, economic background you come from, it's over with. We are all equals in Jesus Christ. We have a tendency here, not here, but in this county, to kind of do things for ourselves, pick ourselves up by our bootstraps. We have a terrific work ethic in Lancaster County, probably better than almost anywhere in the country. But it kind of gets in the way sometimes because it makes it easier to serve people. Sometimes it makes it hard to receive. Two-way street, somebody's mentioned, Kevin mentioned. It's a two-way street. You need to be open to receive as well as give. The other thing is it's not easy for us to open up, especially when it comes to men. We tend to be pretty reserved, taught that it's not okay to talk about your feelings, not okay to talk about your personal life. That needs to be something that needs to be done away with, because what I experienced in my life really isn't any different than what anybody else experienced. Don't know it because talk about it. So transparency leads to intimacy, leads to healing and health. One of the things the Lord has done here, I don't know, if you haven't been here for 2 years or more, you don't know what this church looked like. So different. What God is bringing to Living Hope, the background just continues to evolve and change and become more and more diversified. It's great. To me, it's what the church is supposed to look like. But it's going to involve stepping out of our comfort zones into somebody else's life. It's messy sometimes, oftentimes. With a life group that I've led for a few years, I've said this over and over to the guys, they'll remember it, but as I look around that table and I see these 8 or 9 or 10 men, and there is only one reason that we're together, is because of Jesus. We are so different. We are so buried in our backgrounds and experiences. God has brought a love and a commitment, and that needs to go out and expand.
Can we do a little test here really quickly? Can I ask you to raise your hand if you are not from Lancaster County? This is not, wow, that's more than I thought. That's what, maybe not 50%, maybe 30%. Now, if you are willing to be, keep your hand up. If you're willing to be this bold, leave your hand up if you, like Rick, have found some difficulty in connecting and feeling like you fit in Lancaster County. Leave your hand up. They're waving. They're going like this in the back. So not all of them stayed up, but clearly the majority of your hands stayed up, okay? So that's one of the things the Lord is showing us, that in this county, we can tend to be a bit more closed. Like Rick said, I won't go through the list again. But we're just saying, Lord, we need help with that. If we want to look like what this ministry looked like in Thessalonians, we need to ask the Lord to start working on that. Now, I imagine if another church in some other culture would be saying this, they would have their list. It might not be what ours is. They would have their list of things to overcome. So I don't know that we're horrible people because of this. It's just who we are. It's our background. It's very deeply ingrained in some of us. But we're saying, Lord, we don't want this to hold us back.
I think the bottom line with this is that regardless of where you come from or what your experience has been, you belong. You're here.
Amen.
Because God has purpose for you to be here, and he's put things in you that are needed here. So you're welcome. You're welcome. No matter how far away you came, Ray, you're welcome to be here.
Yeah.
You talk funny, but it's all right.
Okay. Let's hit another one, Christopher. Another hindrance.
It kind of, even broadening it further, I think that this notion of the American dream has infiltrated the church, and it's become more of a mentality, and it's seeped into and affected how we don't interact with going. We're busy. We're doing things. We're trying to get a house with a yard, and whatever we're doing, we're always going, but are we striving for the things of God, and are we striving to fall after God of what he has? Paul exhausted himself in Thessalonians. If you read that, he was among the people, and he worked day and night to not be a burden to them, but he worked for the purpose of God. He didn't work because he was saving up money so he could have 2 acres and a fenced-in yard and a place to hide out. He worked and exhausted himself for the sake of the gospel. So we become very busy and maybe self-centered busy. Ironically, we're so busy when we get a break from the schedule and the things that we're doing, we hide kind of in our house, in our own mini castle, and we don't interact with people. And so it works against this interaction thing that Kevin was talking about. So the societal influence and the push that is all around us to be like that and measure up to keep up with the Joneses really affect what we're doing. And we need to flip that on its head, and we need to do something different. And we need to exhaust ourselves for the sake of the gospel. And if you have a busy life, you can do your busy life with somebody else, and they can be with you, whatever that is. So we're encouraging that interaction, encouraging that community, wherever you might be, whatever you're doing. And I know this is horrible for the introverts, because I'm an introvert, and you do kind of just want to go somewhere and sit on your porch and be by yourself for a little bit, which is fine. Recharge to go out and be with people. So I know it's difficult, and I don't know, that would be another poll, but I think there's a lot of introverts here. So the Holy Spirit can enable us to go out and interact with people and kind of flip that on its head. Our busy society.
Maybe it's good to throw in here, interaction looks different for everyone. You know, you don't have to interact like some of these super extroverts. I was going to call a name of someone sitting over in this area, but I won't do it. Some people that are very extroverted, and they thrive on meeting new people. It's a new person every day, and they love that. But not everybody's wired that way. So interaction doesn't have to look for you like it does for your neighbor, but ask the Lord, what does interaction look like for me? How do I get outside of just this little shell and actually touch one other person, if it's just one other person? So those are two. I'll throw one more here up on the list. And this one is hard to admit, but do you believe that as the church we hinder ourselves from this type of interaction that we're talking about? What do you mean by that, Ron? If the church is not careful, we establish that many programs, that many events, that many activities that require people and volunteers and dollars to make them work, and we're actually creating more of what Christopher described, that we get so busy that we don't want to interact with people outside of this program-driven world of the church. Following my sermon last week, when I was just talking about this whole family thing and relationships within the church, I received an email from someone that simply said this. They said, in my previous church, I was so occupied by the organization that worship and the family sense of the church were lost. Now, that's tragic. But you know what? I think it happens all the time. And I have to admit that. You know, it's so easy for me. Now, it's a little different for me because I'm actually employed by Living Hope. So this is not only my church, but it's my job. But for those of you who are very active in the church, we love that. We really do. But you have to keep asking the Lord, at what point does my activity and my commitment to church activities and programs, at what point does that begin to interfere with my ability simply to sit on my front porch and talk to my neighbor or to take a friend and go do something this evening? You know, we've talked about this. Kind of this phrase is the machine of the church, and I hate to say that word, but the machine of the church kind of overrides or trumps the ministry of the church. I said last week that I think the church oftentimes is more like an organization than it is like a family. And I don't know what all that's supposed to look like, but I think we all have probably, most of us anyway, this uncomfortable familiarity with, the church is at times more like an organization than it is like a family. So that was another thing that we've identified and talked about as hindrances. Well, let's move on now to wrap up with just hopefully some practical things that we think the Lord is saying to us as a body, to the church as a whole, but our focus is, of course, on the body here. So, Kevin, why don't you go back to something you shared earlier and just kind of broaden that out a little bit.
First of all, I want to make it very, very clear that our core philosophy and the vision that we have is that ministry here at Living Hope, life-giving, transforming ministry here at Living Hope, is for each one of you here this morning. five of us sitting up front here. It has nothing to do with us up here. We may be involved in helping to shape some vision and leadership, but each one of you, I don't care where you're sitting here this morning, each one of you is going to be a part of this, and that's our heart and vision. I would encourage us this morning, pray about who God wants us to interact with this week, maybe even today. Begin to pray and seek the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, lead me into those relationships. Look for opportunities to encourage and be a friend. It's one-on-one. It doesn't have to be in a large group setting. It doesn't even have to be in a group setting of 20 people. One-on-one. Look for those opportunities to be a friend, to connect with someone, to listen to someone, be able to speak into their life, to be able to encourage. Every single person likes to be encouraged. Every single person likes to be listened to. So you can do that. You don't have to be commissioned as an elder or pastor to do that, but each one of you can listen and obey the Holy Spirit as you interact and spend time with people in that one-on-one way. Be willing to connect with people that you don't already know. You know, as a couple other people mentioned here this morning, Living Hope is constantly changing in the number of people that God is blessing us with and coming through the doors on a Sunday morning throughout the week. And I would encourage you to be intentional about connecting to someone that you don't already know. That connecting point, that interaction, may be the best thing that ever happens to you and to that other person, because God can use you to minister to that person, or they can minister to you. So look for those opportunities. Be willing to connect, like I said, with people in multiple different settings. Be willing to share your stories with people that you connect. Each one of us has a story of what God is doing, has done, is doing now, and continues to do. Share that story. That story is part of ministry. It's part of healing for people that you interact with. Show an interest in people, in the journey they're in. As you listen, as you talk, as you interact, the relational part, again, the relational interactive part, listen and share. Listen to the stories of where people are at in their journey. And God will use you. God will be amazingly faithful in ministry that happens out of that. Seek out a life group. Get into a small group. If you're not connected in a way beyond Sunday morning, Sunday mornings are great. It's a big group setting. We get to worship together corporately in that way. But small groups, it's important to speak interaction through those groups. So seek those things out. Pray about it. Seek the Holy Spirit. Follow His guidance. You know, I've found that as we interact with people, the majority of the transformation that we see happening is happening through relationships. It's not here on a Sunday morning, but it's happening during the week. And that's where transformation, we get excited about that. If there's nothing else that you take away from this morning, and it is that God is calling us to be agents of transformation and ministry to others, and it happens as we interact and spend time with people.
Go ahead, Jay. Pick it up from there. You're going to add something, a little bit of a caution or at least a reminder.
Cost. There's a cost to go with just what Kevin shared. And I think of all the elders up here, we don't have this all together. You know, we're learning also. God is speaking to us. That's why we want to encourage you also. We need to be intentional. The very things that we're saying, we need to be intentional to reach out also. And we want to do this together as a congregation. The time, and also, I think Kevin already touched on the prayer. You know, start praying. Who can I connect with? You know, who is God laying on my heart? And it comes back to that cost of time that it's going to take. Encourage you to be generous with your time. I know many, look across the congregation, many of you are already ministering to a lot of people. That is so exciting. Yeah, so we want to continue on with the parenting, spiritual parenting of one another. Paul touched on that in the scripture. He says, salted. We were insulted. We dared to tell you the gospel in spite of opposition. Yeah, Paul dealt with some real persecution. He was run out of town. We're not going to be run out of town. It's not going to happen for you where we live. But you have, everybody has a story to share, a testimony to share of what Jesus means to me. What does Jesus mean to me? That story is undebatable. That is undebatable. You don't have to worry. So often we get worried about getting into debate of things of Scripture and so forth. Not your personal story. That is undebatable. And that's what touches those hearts. That's what touches the heart. But it is a time commitment.
Take the next one, Richard.
Okay. One of the things I've learned in ministry the Lord's given me to do is that everybody needs it. How walk with the Lord, I don't care how mature or immature you are or think you are, everybody needs help. Everybody needs help. I was thinking about this last night when I was involved in AA. One of the first things they tell you to do is get a sponsor. Reason is you don't know what you're doing and you need somebody to follow, somebody who's walked the road before you. And that's really what we're talking about, is finding somebody who walks their walk with Christ in a way that you admire and you want some of them. No problem. Ask them. What do you do? I mean, that's part of you seeking something out. We need to have enough humility to say, you know what, I'm still a mess and I need help. And this person can help me. So what are you going to do if somebody asks? Somebody comes up to you and says, I want you to be my mentor. I want you to be my spiritual parent for whatever season. What are you going to do? You're going to say, that scares the daylights out of me. I don't want to go there. I'm going to suggest that you stop and pray or show you what's in the way to remove the obstacles. You do have something to give. You believe that God can use you. Really believe God who is in you wants to be wants to be a blessing to somebody else. All got something. Who is somebody you can come alongside of? Don't know. Maybe you're new here and you don't know very many people. I would encourage you to get involved in something like the greeting ministry. Start to put names with faces. Start to realize that you are part of what's going on here. Pray. I think Kevin mentioned. Pray. Ask the Lord. Who is it the Lord has for you to live life with? And finally, if you have difficulty with it, need more clarification, or have questions, feel free to talk to us or one of the life group leaders. The life group. Donna and Clyde. Who else? Who else is around? Oh, in the back, Claudia. And life group. So, free. We're totally approachable.
All right. Go ahead, Christopher. Take us to the last one. I'll reserve my comment until after you're finished. That maybe I would say this before Christopher starts. There might be some of you that are saying right now, if you've been listening to us this morning, and you might be saying, "Well, Ron, this doesn't really feel like a clear, concise vision. It doesn't feel like you're outlining like very clear structural steps and exactly what is going to happen next." That leads into what Christopher's going to share now.
Yeah, I mean, as a kind of as a structure and a detail guy, I think for months I was hoping that we'd pray and we'd come up with this 8-step plan to gospel dispersion and discipleship or something. And that's not what God has. God has this. I mean, we just saw it in 1 Thessalonians. There is already a plan in place and a model in place and it's here. And we're not going to try to reinvent the wheel. We're not just going to try to come up with something magical and set up a program when it's really all about people and it's about relationships and it's about interaction. So I've been using the word framework. Framework, there's not a lot there, but there's this frame to plug into. And I thought of a lattice, a garden lattice this morning. So if you put a lattice there, it's not that great looking. It's not that exciting. But you imagine when you plant a seed or you planted a plant at the bottom, you have a wisteria or a clematis, a rose or something, and it climbs that lattice. And organically, it goes where it needs to go, and it grows because of good soil and water. And that's the beauty that's the attractive part, the organic part of it, the thing that's growing there. And so we're kind of setting here, giving a vision, setting up a framework with just suggesting discipleship and life groups and just meeting with people and interaction. We're setting up this framework, but in the end, it's the people of God that are beautiful, and he makes you grow and do the things that you're supposed to do and grow on that lattice. And when you grow and you flourish, you become another example to other people to also grow and flourish on another framework that might be something different. 3 years down the road or another church or another place, there's a different lattice, there's a different framework. But they know by the Bible and by a model that's set out for them how to grow and how to look beautiful and to reflect the image of God and his beauty. So that's what we've come to present this morning. Not something that's top down, because as Kevin said, it's all about everybody together. We're not coming here to dictate and to ask you to follow three steps here to do something, because it turns into a program and it turns into something that's not personal. So we want to make sure that it starts at the roots and it starts with the people of God following what God has outlined in.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say in the North American church, the Western church, if you want to call it that, much of the time the church is led by or seems to be moved forward by a very gifted, powerful leader type. And they amass around them a very gifted staff. And I'm sure you've all heard this statistic, but you know, like that small group of very visible people do nearly all the work in the church, and the rest of the church pretty much become spectators. They come Sunday morning to take in all of the wonder and excitement of this great, you know, like Kevin said, a worship team and preaching and all that stuff. And that's not what we want. I think one of the best ways to guard against people getting burned out, and you, I'm sure many of you are aware that that is probably like the number one killer of people in ministry is burnout. The best way to avoid that is when the family shares the load, when the body is actually a body. You know, that's what keeps your right arm from getting totally destroyed, is because you have a left arm and you have two legs. That's the way the body works. God designed it wonderfully that way. And it wasn't by mistake that Paul used that analogy to describe the church as a body. He said, you're a body of all these different parts. You all work together. So that's what we want, to see the church functioning as a body and not the five of us or us and our spouses and life group leaders, you know, carrying everything that will ever have to be done. Living Hope will grow and flourish as the body becomes more like a body. And I'm not saying that to chastise you, because I'm challenged by every single thing we set up here. I know there are things that I get stuck in my little boxes. The other reason you can't put a real specific plan in place is because every one of us are at different places in our own walk. So I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to add anything you want here in a minute. This is going to be my last thing, I think, is just to say, just to ask you the question, what is your next step? There's probably some of you here that you are very much, you would say, that's what I do. I come on Sunday morning, I'm there for 2 hours, I go home again, and to me, that is the extent of what I call church. That is the extent of my church life. If that's where you are today, that's okay. We are gently trying to say that we think God wants more of that. Not to make you busier, but to bring health to your life and to bring growth to your life. So for you, this step might be next Sunday, I'm going to talk to someone. I'm just going to talk to someone. Whoever's sitting next to me or around, I'm actually going to stay 3 minutes longer after we're dismissed, and I'm going to have one conversation. And I know for most of you, that's not a problem. But if that's where you are, like, I just go, I don't really want to be part of this deal, we'd encourage you to start strike up a conversation. Maybe try to get to know someone. The person you talk to them again next week, and try to get to know someone. For you, it might be, maybe you've got that part. You've got the relational part, but your relationships and your conversations have been, can we say, surface. And then you go to what Rick was talking about, like maybe at time the Lord will lead you to a place where you're actually going to say to someone, can we hang out a little bit? I'd like to get you to get to know you a little better and try to get a comfort level that you can start sharing things. And look, I know some of you are introverts. I do. I mean, I could name some of you that I know this is probably uncomfortable for you this morning. And again, your interaction doesn't have to look like my interaction or Rick's interaction. But be asking the Lord, what are those small steps towards the body, functioning like a body, building one another up as we're supposed to do? So, yeah, anything else? Anything else anybody wants to jump in on here yet?
I know on behalf of the elders up here, we would love feedback from you, or if there's things that Living Hope we're doing that are hindrances, we talked about hindrances, if those things, if you see those things and maybe they're not enabling us to be as interactive, please tell us, come to us. If there's things that we're not aware of or things about Living Hope that maybe would be hindrances, let us know. Someone mentioned about feedback, emailing us, calling us, interact with us. We want to hear how we're doing and how as a body we're doing in eliminating some of those hindrances and moving forward in practical steps.
I just wanted to say at the end of Thessalonians, that Paul says, the one who calls you is faithful. I was touched by Austin just saying God is faithful as to the next step for him graduating from school. He is faithful to one of you as you step out.
I think one of the things that struck us so much is how simple this is. Most of us have been parents, still are parents. All of us have been children. So have some experience in this. It really isn't any more saying to somebody, hey, why don't we go out to breakfast? Carla and I, when we first came here, started greeting. We didn't know anybody. We knew Dillers, I think, probably. That was about it. But that's how we got to know people. And that's a very non-threatening, very involved type thing to do. So it's not that complicated. Don't let the idea of it, don't let the word discipleship frighten you. It is nothing more than living life.
Thank you. I hope for those of you who have been a part of Living Hope for any amount of time, this is helpful this morning just to kind of hear an update on what we feel the Lord's stirring in us. And as Kevin said, we really do appreciate feedback. You know, moving forward, this question lies, it's held before us. You know, what are the things that we are doing that are leaning a little bit too much on program, organizational type things that are actually pulling people away from relationship? Or what are the things that we can be leading and trying to facilitate to move people towards relationship? So hopefully that's helpful. If you're newer at Living Hope, hopefully this gives you a little bit of a insight into kind of what is stirring in us. I know we don't do this every Sunday, talk about what are the things we're hearing from the Lord in terms of the congregation. But I hope it's been helpful to you. So, thanks for your attention. We really appreciate it. And we really appreciate your prayers. As you think of us, pray for us. We are considered leaders of the congregation. I said at the beginning that we are the leadership team for the congregation. But I would say at almost every one of our meetings when we get together, one of us prays that the Lord would make us good followers. Because we're more interested in being good followers than we are in good leaders. We want to follow the Lord. We want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We want to follow Him because He is the leader of Living Hope. We are trying to follow Him. And then as you follow us, hopefully we're just all following the Lord together. So that's our desire. How well we do at it, that's up for debate. But that's our desire, and that's a way you can pray for us that we would become better and better followers and listeners so that when we lead and when we speak, we do that from a place of having been following and listening to the Lord first. Does that make sense? So I appreciate your prayers. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. For the presence of your Holy Spirit among us, Lord, I am so thankful for this body. And God, I know that the things that we've been speaking of this morning, they are happening. They are taking place. I have seen them with my own eyes. I could start listing names of people that have stepped into this reality, that they have been connecting at relational levels, and they're pouring their lives into the lives of others. God, but we just want to see it more and more. More and more at Living Hope, that Living Hope would, as Jay said earlier, become a place where the hurting find family, where they are parented And Lord, we are not, we are admitting that we're all in that camp. In one way or another, we all have places to grow and need for someone to speak into our lives. So God, won't you do that by your Holy Spirit? Won't you allow that and lead that to be an organic thing, something that takes on a life of its own at Living Hope, not because the elders talk about it, but because the Holy Spirit is stirring in us to become a family, a place where people can connect in meaningful ways. I pray your blessing on each person here today. God, you know what each one is going through, the things that lie ahead the coming week, the things that we've experienced the week behind us. God, we look to you. We trust in you. You are a faithful God, and we thank you for that this morning. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. If there is any way we can pray with you, we'd be happy to do that. Did you have something you want to say? Okay, there is a microphone right over here. So, actually, can you take the mic? But we'll get a mic back to you, Kevin.